Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert Breer, MMQB, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Albert, let's start with this. If Ohio State does not make the CFP, do you want them to go to the Rose Bowl?
I guess I don't really care. I'm not saying I won't watch the game, you know, but, you know, I sort of feel like at that point, like the game is about next year, you know, and that's like what last year's Rose Bowl was too. You know, I mean, that was really like the first glimpse we got of how good Marvin Harrison could be, right? Obviously CJ was coming back and, you know, I think we saw some of Cade Stover, even though it was on the other side of the ball. So, you know, I think for a program like Ohio State, and there aren't a lot of them, like there's probably a handful of them, like, you know, Georgia or Alabama that are in these situations where, I mean, literally they're NFL factories. You know what I mean? Like you're going to have opt-outs and they're going to be younger kids playing. It's going to be about setting yourselves up for the next year. Like, does CJ play? Does Paris Johnson play? Like, it's just, you have so many questions, like coming out of a situation like that if you're not making the playoffs. Meanwhile, if they do make the playoffs, then maybe you have a healthy backfield and you have Jackson Smith and Jigba back in the lineup for the first time, you know, all season. So yeah, it's a tough question, but I would say, like, I love seeing Ohio State out at the Rose Bowl, but I mean, it really has become sort of an exhibition. So if it's the Rose Bowl, fine. I guess it'd be the Orange Bowl otherwise, right?
It could be the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or Cotton Bowl.
Right. So I mean, it's going to be a big bowl, yeah. Regardless. I mean, there's something like I still love about the Rose Bowl. But, you know, I think that the game becomes, for me, like now, it's like, I want the Buckeyes to win, of course, but I think, because, again, you're one of those programs, you know, like Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, like schools that recruit on that level, and again, there are only a handful of them where you know there are going to be first-round picks out there. You know, part of that deal is if you're not playing in the playoffs, you're probably going to lose some guys opting out for the draft, and the game's going to become more about next year than it is this year.
Albert, I spent Monday and Tuesday of this week fighting off Ohio State fans who wanted to fire Ryan Day and said that Ohio State had no chance at the playoffs this year, despite the fact that then the selection committee ranked him fifth. This is just all for me to be able to say I was right on some of this. I do want to know, though, because one of the things that was said, or one of the comments, was that I'd made the comment that if Ryan Day wanted to, I think he could have an NFL job tomorrow. If Ryan Day did decide he wanted to go to the NFL, do you think he would be highly sought after?
Well, here's the question. Could he get a contract that matches the one he has now? Because I think his deal, like the value on it is $11 million a year, new money, and $9.5 million a year in total money, right? Like, so he's making almost $10 million a year. Last I checked, I think the number was like there's 8 or 9 coaches in the NFL that are making $10 million a year. So, like, is there an NFL team out there that's even going to, you know, pay him what he's already making at Ohio State? And there are a couple things that I think hurt him, you know, like, and I think it's, you know, like, first of all, they've lost the last couple of years to Michigan. So he's lost to, you know, another guy who has been in that NFL mix in Jim Harbaugh. And then, you know, I think the other part that's really hurt him that's not his fault at all is the failure of college coaches in the pros, you know, and primarily you know, Matt Rhule. But, you know, there are other examples of it too. Obviously, Urban Meyer is one of those. I think he's sort of in a separate category. But I think there are some things that sort of hurt his candidacy. Maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he's not quite as hot a candidate as he would have been a year or two ago. And I'm not totally sure, based on the number of openings are going to be, that would happen. I think at some point he'll be a head coach in the NFL. I just don't think it'll be now.
So what do you make of the Mike Vrabel rumors that are out there?
Oh, I could totally. I mean, Dustin, you know Vrabes, right? Like I totally could see it at some point. Like I think he's sort of, I mean, our version of Harbaugh, right? Is that fair, Dustin?
I think it's totally fair. Yeah, I mean, both were legends at their respective universities, both great pros. You know, both have had success in the NFL, and a lot of fans want them back. They wanted Harbaugh back, and I think a lot of Ohio State fans want Vrabel back at Ohio State.
I mean, Nick, you just talked about this. Like, I was a little irrational about everything on Sunday and Monday, too. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want to see this team in the playoffs. You know, it's like, I know how irrational that is. Are we heading in the right direction? And I think there are fair questions to ask here. Ryan's also 45-5. He's won two Big Ten titles. He's beat Michigan in 2019. They would have smacked them in 2020 if they hadn't ducked us, right? And I'm going to call that what it is. Like, they would have beaten by 50, right? Like, so, I mean, you know, if that doesn't happen in 2020, we're talking about 2-2. He's been to the playoffs twice. He's been to a national championship. He boat raced Clemson. I'm not sure that we can look at this and, like, on the balance of the situation and say, like, Ryan's not the right guy. And I do think part of this is there's a process to getting where you need to be from a toughness standpoint. I don't think losing on Saturday was about physical toughness anymore. I think it was about mental toughness, you know, because I think they were plenty physically tough. I think you saw breakdowns late in the game, mental breakdowns, I think, is what was happening out there. And, you know, to me, like, that's, I guess, part of the process of getting where they need to go. I put myself through the first half again this morning, and thank you for letting me vent a little bit here. I do appreciate it, and Dustin.
If they score a touchdown in the end of the first quarter there instead of getting a field goal and they go up 14-3, I think it's a different game. I really do.
I think they might blow them out. Honestly, like, watching the first half, it, like, looked like they couldn't run with us. It really did. I mean,
I totally agree.
They could not run with us. And I think Michigan had to feel like going into the half down 20-17 was a massive, massive win. And I just think so much of it was about, give Harbaugh credit, because this is the way his teams in San Francisco were too, like, mentally really strong. You know what I mean? Like, and we're not going to mentally break. We're going to make you mentally break, you know? And so I don't think it was like last year, I think Michigan had a better team than Ohio State. I don't think that's the case this year. I think they have a mentally stronger team, and I think that's what won out on Saturday.
Albert Breer, MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So let's get to the Browns. Deshaun Watson makes his Browns debut this weekend in Houston, the place he used to play. I know you know that. I'm just setting the scene for the people there. We didn't hear from Deshaun today, the day that is the starting quarterback usually talks. When we get into the NFL and the Browns together, what do you think the NFL specifically hopes to get out of this week as Deshaun Watson comes off the suspension?
Well, you know what's weird about it, guys, is, like, have you guys seen some of the crowd shots from Houston over the last few weeks?
Not great, Bob.
I honestly I can't think of a more hopeless situation than the one the Texans are in right now. Like, it is, like, again, and Dustin, it sounds like you saw them. I can't remember seeing as empty an NFL stadium for a regular season game. I don't know if it was their last game or the one before that, but there was one where somebody took a picture in the second quarter of the crowd, and there couldn't have been 10,000 people in the stadium. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, like, I'm saying that because, like, what's it going to be like in that stadium? And I'll be there, so I'll report back for you guys. But are fans in Houston going to show up just because it's Deshaun? You know, is it going to be like every other game's been there, where the apathy is just so deep right now towards that franchise that nobody's bothering to even show up? So I think that part of it's going to be interesting. I would expect that there'll be protests outside the stadium. So I'm sure the NFL feels like they're going to have to manage that. You know, his accusers are going to be in the suite. That's been established. So I think the NFL I think for the NFL, this is gritting your teeth and getting through it. And you know, kind of to rewind the clock here to when we talked about this over the summer, this is 100% why the NFL so aggressively pushed out there that they were seeking a year or an indefinite suspension. Because if they didn't, if they just said it's 11 games and that's that, like if this had been the initial punishment and they hadn't gone through that whole song and dance, you know what we'd all be talking about this week? Did the NFL do the right thing by putting him back on the field? That's what we would all be talking about, right? So I think in a certain way, the NFL probably feels like they've washed their hands of this and that now it's on the Browns and it's on Deshaun to handle the fallout when they get down to Houston. So again, like I think, you know, just kind of remembering back to the way the NFL pushed out the what they were looking for, like we're looking for a year, they sort of, I think, were, from a PR standpoint at least, able to detach themselves from what the fallout will be this weekend.
How do you think Deshaun's going to play?
It's a great question. You know, I answered a mailbag question on that this week. It's up on the site if anybody wants to look at it. But I brought up the example of Drew Henson. And, you know, I this is a story I kind of understand because I saw him play in college a lot, of course. And then for anybody who doesn't know, he was the Michigan quarterback after Brady. And he was the one who kind of platooned with Brady and then became a starter in 2000. Was a really, really good college quarterback. And, you know, before his senior year, George Steinbrenner came in because he was a baseball player too and gave him, I think it was $19 million to quit football. And so he goes to the Yankees. Baseball doesn't really work out. 3 years later, he comes back and you know, plays for the Cowboys and, you know, never really gains traction. I probably played like 5 or 6 years in the league, but never was a starter or anything like that. This is a guy who, if he had stayed in school, might have been the number one pick in 2002. And I remember, you know, getting to Dallas, and I covered the Cowboys in 07 and 08, and I remember talking to people, just BSing about it, you know, asking them about him, because this is like kind of like the road that they took to get to Tony Romo eventually. And I remember hearing on him, it was he regretted leaving football because he never got like his rhythm and his feel and all that different stuff back. And by like not playing the sport for 3 years, it had really kind of just upset the clock in his head, the feel for the game that he had. I don't think it's going to be as severe here because obviously, you know, Deshaun's been training to play football and Deshaun's been getting ready to play football. Henson was getting ready to play baseball. But I do think that there's something there just as far as trying to get your rhythm back and everything else. Now, all the Browns players that I talked to after the game on Sunday, they all to a man said he looks amazing in practice and he's been great. But Dustin, you could speak to this. I think it's just, it's different when you're in there and it's live bullets flying. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So I don't think it's going to be one of these things where we're still talking about this in a year. But do I think there could be like a 3 or 4 week reacclimation period where he has to get used to the speed of the game and the ins and outs of everything? I certainly think that's possible.
All right. We got about 90 seconds here, buddy. Will you fan the flames or throw cold water on the idea of Tom Brady returning to New England in 2023?
I would say there's close to zero chance of that happening. I do think there's a chance he comes back and plays again in 2023. If I had to guess which team, I would probably put the Las Vegas Raiders at the top of that list. Assuming like if he didn't go back to Tampa, I would say the Raiders would be at the top of that list because of obviously his connections there with the Niners and Giants. There's a couple other teams to watch, but I don't think he's going back to the Patriots. I think that ship has sailed.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Did I say non-zero?
Yes. Yes. Albert, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you. And listen, we appreciate that you trusted us enough to vent about.
Call us anytime.
Yeah, if you just need to talk through your Ohio State fury.
I do another segment on that. I mean, I've got a lot of things to say and not many places to say it right now when it comes to college football. I've got plenty of places to say stuff about the NFL. But I was in a kind of dark place on Sunday, I'll say that. So, and Saturday after the game, I, yeah, you know, I, uh, I will say this. I fired off a couple of tweets that I ran by my buddies that I was sitting with in the stands before I hit.
That's always a good call. Run them by your friends.
Yeah. And we might have been a dozen or so deep. And I, I hit send on them. I will say this. Those two tweets, I regret absolutely nothing about them. I stand by what I tweeted after the game. So.
We appreciate you, Albert. Thanks so much,
buddy.
Thanks,
bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man, see ya.
The first part where he said the NFL has kind of washed their hands of this, I thought that was really interesting because one of the things we didn't get to with Albert was the fact that the viewing map for the four games that CBS will be broadcasting in the 1 o'clock time slot this weekend, it sure looks like the NFL went out of their way to make sure nobody outside of Houston and Cleveland would be watching this game this weekend.
I don't know. I think it's fishy.
Which part?
I think it's fishy that literally this is kind of a big game from a national perspective, I think, mm-hmm. with Deshaun returning.
I actually, the more I don't think I can say I'm surprised that the NFL buried this game because I think the NFL is keenly aware of how bad their reputation is with female fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the thing that does surprise me is that, and we mentioned this earlier, this is kind of the NFL's favorite. The NFL loves to sell narratives because that drives TV viewership. And this has about as many narratives as you can get to. Now, one is the not a great narrative. You've got a quarterback accused of sexual assault and sexual impropriety. But Deshaun Watson, 8 months after being traded from Houston, playing, making his Browns debut in Houston. If this was any other premier quarterback, one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL, making his team debut in his old hometown, I think this would be all over. And I think it's been very interesting to hear people say, well, it's that Jets-Vikings game. That's got some real implications. If we put up Deshaun Watson returns to Houston in his mm-hmm. Browns debut up against Jets Vikings. If just devoid of context, that revenge storyline or the return storyline, that debut storyline, absolutely out trumps in the minds of people watching games, even two playoff teams playing each other with 6 weeks to go, right?
Probably, yeah.
So I thought it was interesting, the idea that they've washed their hands of this and basically, it's on you, Cleveland and Deshaun. Don't screw this up. It's so funny when people try to apply like ethics or morals to mm-hmm. the NFL. And I said this earlier, I truly believe it. I don't think it's possible to be driven by ethics or morals when you're a $25 billion company. Because you become so beholden to just making every new dollar that you can,
right,
that anything that gets in the way of this is honestly, it's not important. Because in this case, you've got 32 owners who are very happy with their $25 billion, but they would now like $25 billion and $1. You know what I mean?
Of course they do.
So I thought that was interesting. I also thought, like, I'm just glad somebody actually put a timetable on the Rust thing. Because I think the idea of Rust with Deshaun Watson, who hasn't played in over 700 days, I think it's been this nebulous monster lurking underneath the bed. And so I'm glad that Albert said, yeah, I could see a 3 to 4 week acclimation period.
If that's going to be the case, and listen, the Browns would know that, then again, like we said earlier, at least I said this, I feel like don't come out guns a-blazing with mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson. Ease him into it. You know, keep the training wheels on a little bit here for the first couple of weeks. This is almost like his preseason all over again, and thankfully you're playing a team that's probably going to be playing like preseason-type players.
Yeah, and I think I really don't know what to expect from Kevin Stefanski and the Browns and how they're going to deploy Deshaun Watson over these the first few games, right? Like, I think by the Saints game, the Commanders game, I think they're going to want to have the whole playbook at their beck and call, and he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. But, like, I don't know. I don't know what the right call is. But I do know the Browns are going to afford Deshaun Watson an opportunity he's never been afforded to before. There was never a point in Houston where Deshaun Watson could lean back on a Nick Chubb type, or where he could lean back on a group of skill players with... he had DeAndre Hopkins, but he never had an Amari Cooper with a David Njoku, right? And then even if he had Amari, even if he had a DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. his number two receiver maybe wasn't as good as Donovan Peoples-Jones has been this year. He certainly never played with an offensive line as good as... And by the way, none of us are really thrilled with the offensive line this year. It's still better than probably the best offensive line he played with in Houston, because that was such a bleep show for them. So if there is, like, just hearing that it's a 3 to 4 week acclimation period, it doesn't automatically make me think the Browns are going to lose all those games, because they have the threat of Deshaun Watson should be good enough early that allows those guys to be as dynamic as they are.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.